They tempted God because they lost sight of the decree. Nothing is impossible with God. What moved them into a place to put a cap on what they could expect from God? They forgot their own personal history of His supernatural interventions. See, when you lose the awe of God, you lose the courage for radical obedience. When you lose the courage for radical obedience, you don't have confidence in conflict. Glad you showed up. We've had such a wonderful time. John and Carol just absolutely wrecked us with blessing these last few days. It's been so good. Thanks, John. And then he's here tonight. I just can't believe it. I told him if I knew he was going to come, I would have put him to work, you know. Yeah. Let's get going. I've got a bit of ground to cover tonight. Last week, I think I talked to you for about 10 minutes and we just prayed for people. But tonight, I think we'll do a little bit more. So go to Matthew 16, and we'll start there. I'm gonna bounce you around a bit because I've got a theme that I want to try to cover well before we go into any kind of ministry time. So Matthew 16, we're starting with a strange passage. Strange to me, anyway. I want to talk to you tonight about the works of God. And the Bible says that he made his works to be remembered. In other words, a miracle and your brain fit together well. He made works to be remembered. He designed them to attach to your thought life well. It's not a round peg in a square hole. It's a perfect match. In the same way you and I were designed to actually recognize the presence of God, having our senses trained to discern good and evil, the manifest presence of the Lord is recognizable by the physical body, senses being trained to recognize the Lord. The psalmist said, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. So that means then that it's possible to be immersed in the glory long enough that you actually restore your natural appetite for the presence of God. There's a lot of things that you and I were designed for that we've not perhaps considered before or considered very often, but you were designed to recognize the presence of God. You were designed to recognize the works of God and to be able to contain them, to remember them. One of the things that David would do and the writers of the Psalms would do is in the night watches, they would meditate on the works of God. I never meditate on God's works to understand them. I only meditate on them to be impressed by them, to be impacted by them. I want them to leave a mark. I don't expect to comprehend anything that has to do with an infinite God, but I do expect to be on a collision course with who He is that is revealed in His wonders. Every miracle is a package that when it is opened actually reveals the nature of God, and there are layers to that package, to that gift that gets opened. There is the testimony of what God has done. The Bible says Israel was acquainted with the acts of God. Those are His works. But Moses was acquainted with His ways. The works of God point to the nature of God. And every time there's a revelation of God through a miracle, there's always an invitation for encounter because He's longing to draw us into relationship. And we have legal access to Him in the way He has revealed Himself. If there's tonight a miracle of salvation, a miracle of people's bodies, renewed marriages, all the stuff. Whenever the Lord reveals Himself through a work, there's an invitation to come and to know Him in that way. He never reveals Himself just so that we get smarter. He's not intensely burdened for our intellect. Is intensely burdened for our transformation. And that is done by exposure to the glory of God revealed in His works. Are you guys all right? You alive? Because I'm going to go fast. You have to go fast with me. If you're sleeping, you will wake up in Never Never Land and not know where we are. So, all right. So the works of the Lord reveal his nature. So every time there's a testimony, there's actually the unpacking of a part of his nature. And there is the privilege by every believer to behold those things, not trying to dissect them so that we can articulate and speak to others about him as much as that work, that wonder is to impact us to where we walk away having been marked by the nature of God. There's a strange passage here. Let's just get going in this. Matthew 16. And it says here, verse 1 says, the Pharisees and Sadducees came testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. This is weird that they would ask to show a sign because he's been doing miracle signs and wonders the whole time. So just get in mind. I hear people speak against miracles because of verses like this. Because Jesus brings correction to scribes and Pharisees that were asking for a sign. The context is there were miracles all around them. They wanted God to do something that they requested. In other words, do an entertaining sign, a sign in the heavens, a sign in the skies. Do something that impresses us, not just healing people and delivering people and all that stuff. Does that make sense to you? They're asking for something at their request so that God would perform for them. Verse 2, he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times. This is the phrase I want you to look at. Hypocrites. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. In Mark 8, Jesus asked a series of questions of the disciples after he challenged them about becoming aware of the kingdom of God that is unseen and invisible. So he asked them three questions in one particular verse. He says, can't you see? Can't you hear? Can't you remember? Seeing and hearing are two manifestations of the same gift. In the same way that light waves and sound waves are the same, they're just different dimensions of the same thing. In the same way, seeing and hearing are two manifestations of the same gift. Here, Jesus rebukes Pharisees because they can look outside and tell you what the weather's going to be, but they don't recognize the unseen spiritual climate of the world they live in. I can understand him rebuking them. I can understand him saying they are lacking in spiritual giftings. What's hard to understand is why he would call them hypocrites. Because he could only call them hypocrites if they had the capacity to do so and they claimed to be discerning. Only then can he call them hypocrites. Are you following with me? Otherwise, he can correct them for living in a delusion. He can correct them for boasting in a gift that they do not have. But in this particular case, he actually calls them hypocrites because they can discern natural things but not spiritual. Are you making the connection with me? It would be easy in my understanding for him to rebuke them because maybe they have a capacity for natural things and they've not asked for a spiritual gift, but he doesn't correct them for that. He corrects them because they are sitting there with a capacity that God gave them, but it is unused and they claim to be discerning. This tells me then that every person has a God-given ability for seeing and for hearing. Now, I do believe that there are those who have unusual gifts. We have people in the church family here that are seers, literally. They see with their natural eye, they see the unseen realm. There's an unusual gift there. But what I want to do tonight is I want to give you access through kingdom principle to hearing and seeing. When Jesus asked the question, he says, can you see? And I'm sure the disciples are sitting there going, apparently not. Can you hear? Yeah, probably not. But here he gets them on the last one. Can you remember? The first two I would associate with a spiritual gift. The last one I associate with a spiritual discipline. Can you see? No, not so good. Can you hear? Not really. Can you remember? Actually, I can if I want to. We all remember things. It's what we remember that determines how we live. The concept of remembering the activities of God, the divine interventions of God, the miracles of God, is such a significant part of the life of a believer that it was in the three primary commands given to the nation of Israel for how to sustain life. Let me use New Testament terminology, in kingdom lifestyle. He said, keep the commandments, keep the statutes, keep the testimonies. The testimony, the meditating on, the embracing of the miracles that we don't understand, but they move us to wonder. Every one of us should be deeply concerned about our life the moment we move into a season where we've lost the awe and the wonder. Those who understand their Christian life are serving a God their size. We oftentimes fashion a God that we can comprehend, understand, and have some measure of control. And he's looking to impress us. Not as an entertainer, but as a father that is wooing us into greater significance. And so this whole concept of being exposed to wonders is to move us into awe. And it is the awe of God that keeps us in that tender childlike place where we are ready to admit we don't understand what's going on, but we're in the middle of his hand and we trust him completely. We are in a season where things are happening that we can't take credit for. They're glorious, they're wonderful, but they are just because he's good. Yes, I believed, yes, I proclaimed, yes, I did everything he told me to do, but at the end of the day, it's really entirely by his grace. This is the one kingdom where you get rewarded for what he does through you. And so here we have this this statute or this way of life. If you can imagine God wanting to distill how you live life in a way that is profoundly successful and impacting. And he reduces it to these three statements. And you'll find it Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 6. He says, keep the commandments. Do what he says. Keep the statutes. Remember the principles that life is formed by. And keep the testimony. In other words, keep before you the ongoing, overwhelming works of God so that you maintain that sense of awe. Because it's out of the sense of awe, thankfulness is easy. Worship is normal. Childlike response is as easy as can be. It's our nature. It's when we start moving into a gospel that we comprehend and control that we lose the awe. Those of you that are part of the family here, you would know this, but because we have so many guests with us, I want to make sure that you know I believe we're to pursue understanding. But there's a moment between exposure to a wonder and the moment you come into understanding. And in that season in between, there is a realm of trust that we trust him in mystery. And in that season is where true faith is developed because we are confident in his goodness, confident in his covenant, confident in his promise to us. So I want you to go to Psalm 78, and we're going to look at a number of verses in this psalm, Psalm 78. And we're going to start towards the beginning of the psalm. He says in verse 2, he says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. How many of you want God to talk to you? I mean, really, 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 really. And you're fine with dark sayings. I mean, honestly, that what it means is you're standing in front of a burning bush and you're clueless as to why it's not being consumed. It's exposure to things that don't make any sense. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. What are the praises of the Lord? Those are boasting. Praise is boasting in the nature revealed in the work. Praise is declaring the nature of God that is revealed through the work, the sign, the wonder. Do you see the connection? All right. So it says, we're going to tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Verse 5, he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. Verse 7, that they may set their hope in God. All right, I'm going to make you work. Verse 4 says, we're going to tell a generation to come the praises of God. What are the praises? It's the nature of God revealed in the signs and the wonders. All right. Then he goes on and he says, we're going to make them known to their children. And the reason we're going to make them known to the children, verse 7, is that they would set their hope on God. All right. Now work with me here. Why does the enemy work so hard to distract us from the record of what God has done? Number one, to discourage you. But number two, so he can steal a generation. This is no small matter. This is not like, I want to keep myself thinking positive for this next situation that I'm facing. No, there's a generation at stake. Yeah. Wow. He says, here's the tool. You stay impressed by the awe of God. Be infatuated with his nature that's revealed in his wonders. Speak of them. Talk about them. Keep them always in conversation. Why? Because the next generation will be positioned to set their hope in God. The Lord has given us very specific ways to live. And they have a whole lot more to do than us staying encouraged. Now, I've taught this so many times through the years where I hope you remember that It's profoundly important to keep before our eyes what God is doing, what he has done, and not what he hasn't done. All right, that distinction. But here's what it costs us if we don't do it. He actually, in that lifestyle, equips us with a grace, a reward, where heaven starts working with our words as we study, declare, meditate on his nature revealed in his miracles. Where heaven actually releases something into the hearts of people that causes them to want to know him. It's like a virus carried in a message. And as we rehearse the message and we keep it a normal part of conversation, I don't mean in any way a boasting in ourselves or in our faith. I mean in the absolute raw, miraculous power of God. It may be in healing. It may be in deliverance. We saw some extraordinary miracles last Sunday night. I was so wowed, so impacted by God's grace again, healing people, keeping that testimony before us where we see the wonders of God and we choose to stay impacted by the awe of the nature of God. But something happens to a person who stays impacted by the nature of God. Number one, in this passage, they have the tools to set a generation on a course to walk with God. But number two, and maybe I should take the time. You guys will move fast with me? Yeah. All right. Just listen to the verse. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Listen to it again. Listen and think. Israel, nation of Israel, served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that worked with Joshua, all the elders that outlived Joshua. So what's the picture? Israel has a passion for God as long as Joshua was alive and as long as the elders that worked with Joshua were alive. What was their distinguishing feature? Who had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Listen, this is not a calculated educational process. It is an unseen, invisible grace that is imparted through language, where as we give ourselves to live in awe of the wonders, we equip a generation to have a heart to know him, number one. But number two, our passion for the Lord through his grace, his gracious interventions in our life, it causes people around us to have a passion for God. Now think about this. I would assume everybody in this room would want, as the legacy of your life, when you're dead and you're gone, for people to be able to say, because of their influence in my life, I have given myself to love God, to know him, and to make him known. How many of you would say that's what you want your legacy to be? In this particular passage, it says Joshua had that effect on a whole nation. And the elders that worked with Joshua had that same effect on a whole nation. But what distinguished them from prior leaders and following leaders? This group of people were exposed to the supernatural interventions of God that they could not comprehend. And somehow exposed to the invasions of God into things they couldn't explain and they couldn't control, changed their spiritual DNA, where they became contagious in the awe and the wonder of an almighty God, enough that they actually touched the appetite of an entire nation. This is the awe of the wonder of God. Back to Psalm 78. That was Joshua 24:31, if you're interested. Okay, verse 7, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Now go down to verse 9. It says, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in the law, in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders, which he had shown them. All right. Here's the picture. We've got some of the children of Israel. They're trained for battle. They've got all the equipment. But when they came and began to approach a war, they became fearful and ran away from battle. Now, keep in mind that the Lord only leads into battles you're equipped to win. I personally think everybody in this room, the biggest problem you're facing right now, he's already put the tools in your life within the last 12 months. But anxiety and fear makes us unconscious of the tools that have already been imparted to us. That's why fighting for and from peace is so vital for us. So what does the scripture say? Children of Ephraim were armed. They were ready for battle, but they turned back in the day of battle because they didn't keep the law of God. And it says they forgot the works of God. I think if you read this verse backwards, not like a country western song, but if you start from the last verse and work up, you actually get how and why they turn back in a day of battle. It says they forgot his wonders and his works. Because of that, they refused to walk in his law. Because of that, they turned back the day of battle. See, when you lose the awe of God, you lose the courage for radical obedience. When you lose the courage for radical obedience, you don't have confidence in conflict. When we forget the wonders, we lose the awe, we lose the wonder of God. Now, I watch it all the time, and I don't mean this in a... Oh, it's just observation. This is how we do life. I watch it all the time. People are wowed by the awe and the wonder and then become accustomed to the wonder. Whenever you become accustomed to the wonder, you're much more inclined to critique the people around you. That was free, just totally free. I'm not going to charge you for that at all. It's totally true. When you lose the wonder, you start evaluating and critiquing your environment. Critiquing brings criticism. When I lose the awe, when I lose the awe of God, I'm much more inclined to critique my environment and be more easily offended by what doesn't go my way. Now, of course, I would never put it that way. It's by what doesn't go the way God wants. If I can hide my offense in the will of God, then it justifies it. At least 90% of all offenses are very logical. That's why they've been given permission to stay, because there's reasoning that's been developed outside of the wonder. So when I lose the wonder, go up a verse, I lose the courage for radical obedience. When I lose the courage for radical obedience, I become faint-hearted in conflict. I'm sure this makes sense to you. A person who's living in compromise is much more nervous about getting into spiritual battle in conflict. Moving on. We move down through verses 22 down to verse 31. It just talks about God's dealing with them, how he delivered them, how he disciplined them. In verse 32, it says, in spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Here's one that really bothers me. Actually, I'm sorry, I missed a couple of verses. No, let me move on. Go down to verse 40. How often they provoked him in the wilderness, grieved him in the desert. And here's the verse that really bothers me. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. All right. Work with me here. They tempted God. How? They limited him. They tempted God because they put a cap on what he was either capable or willing to do. They tempted God because they lost sight of the decree, nothing is impossible with God. The scripture says, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. It is mockery to think you could obey God and not have a reward. It is tempting God to put a cap or a limit on what he would be willing to do to, through, and for you. All of this that I'm describing is impossible for us to create in ourselves, but it's the natural byproduct of staying in awe. All right. All right. Verse 41 again. Yes. And again, they tempted God, limited the Holy One of Israel. Verse 42. This is how they did it. They did not remember his power. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the field of Zoan. So how did they limit God? They forgot their own history. What moved them into a place to put a cap on what they could expect from God? What moved them into a place where they had an understanding of how far God would go to do something for them and how far he wouldn't go? They forgot their own personal history of his supernatural interventions. Do you understand how great the miracle of your salvation is? The greatest miracle you've ever seen is your own conversion. In fact, I'll drink to that one. That's so they tempted God when what? When they forgot the works of God. Now, go with me to John 10. Those of you that actually have pages, make noise with them so it actually sounds like people have Bibles. I'm fine with the electronic versions, but you know, it's just a little depressing when nobody does anything. You know. I threatened you several years ago, I'm going to have somebody in here that makes apps that when you open your Bible, it makes noises of turning pages in your iPad so that I can tell something's happening. John 10. Now this is going to be a surprising perspective that Jesus had on miracles, signs, and wonders. All right? Verse 37. If I do not do the works of the Father, do not believe me. Okay, just stop right there. If I do not do the works of the Father, do not believe me. How big of a statement is that? Well, just think with me. He is actually giving people permission to not believe he is who he is. If he doesn't do what? The works of the Father. What are the works of the Father? The best way to study that is to study the Gospel of John, because that's where the statement is made. To study in the context, without question, works, the works of the Father, are miracles, signs, and wonders. This is the book where you find the statement, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. So this theme of works and greater works is miracles. So he says, if I do not do the works of the Father, don't believe me. That's fascinating, because we've had all the prophets have spoken of him. So there's one witness revealing who he is. Nature itself the stars in the sky, the angelic realm, the spirit realm testified to who he was. The prophet's nature, the angelic realm, all spoke to identify who Jesus was for us. And Jesus stands here before humanity and he says, listen, you don't have to believe the prophets. You can ignore nature and you can ignore the angelic realm if I don't do the works of the Father. When the Father declared over Jesus, my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, that was an act that a father would do when he would introduce his son to the community. And he'd bring his son into the community. Let's say they were carpenters. And when he came to the community, he would announce that this is his beloved son in whom he was well pleased. In that announcement, he was telling the entire community, from this point on, when you do business with my son, you are doing business with me. So it's the concept of inheriting family business. So the works of the Father is the family business. And he says, you don't have to believe the prophets, the angels. You don't have to believe any of it if I'm not carrying on the family business. How important were the works? I'm glad you asked. Verse 38. But if I do the works, though you do not believe me, believe the works. Oh boy. Though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. How many of you understand? He's not saying you don't have to believe in me. He's just saying, listen, you're struggling with me. Look at the blind that have been healed. Because signs point to something greater than itself. And the signs, in the same way the exit sign over here points to an exit. None of us crawl through the sign. The sign is real, but it points to something greater than itself. All the miracles point to something greater than itself. So he's saying, listen, you have a hard time swallowing me? Look at the miracles. Believe them. Why? Because they'll take you to me. And what was his concern? He came to reveal the Father, and he says, if it takes you to me, you'll see the Father is in me, because Jesus' primary assignment in coming to earth was to reveal the Father. So Jesus said, if I don't do the works of the Father, don't believe me. What would it be like to have the church stand up before the world and say, if we don't do the works of the Father, you don't have to believe our message? When Jesus, I'm going to go back to where I started, and I'll wrap it up with this. When Jesus asked the question in Mark 8, he says, can you see? Can you hear? Can you remember? As I stated, the first two are connected to a spiritual gift, a capacity given to every person to see and to hear. The last one is a spiritual discipline. Why does he add that? Because I have found it's one way to reactivate your ability to hear and to see is to remember. If you study this all through Psalm 78, it's a classic example of what happens to a people who meditate on the works of God and those who don't. Something takes place in the heart of a nation when they are exposed to leaders who have been exposed to the supernatural interventions of God. Something happens in their own DNA, their own capacity for hearing God, for seeing God, for obeying God, for living with risk. Something happens. I've watched it through the years. I'll walk into a room. Thankfully, it doesn't happen as much anymore, but it used to be I would often go to a church or to a group of believers somewhere. They were very lethargic and very complacent. Thankfully, almost every place I go now, they're burning. But it used to be you'd walk into the room and it was like, you know, they were looking at you saying, you know, impress me, you know, do something to wow me, that kind of deal. And whenever I was in that challenging moment, I wouldn't try to teach them into believing. I would either start with the miracles or start with the testimonies, whatever I felt the permission from the Lord to do. And I watched it year after year after year. The people that were dead, fire started coming into their eyes. And they started, I remember one gentleman after he was a wonderful man. I don't want to put complacency on him, but he was a guy who came to me at the end of a meeting. Randy and I were doing a conference up in Spokane, the first one they had ever had, a healing conference up there right after the healing room started. And this gentleman, a wonderful man, he was actually a pastor, but he had been in an accident, and he was in this motorcycle accident, lost 2 inches of bone in the femur. So when he sat down, his leg was actually 2 inches back behind the other one. And so he came up and we were just kind of talking. He said, you know, he says, I'm missing 2 inches of bone in my leg. And he just, as a matter of fact, he says, you know, it never even occurred to me to have this prayed for. He wasn't even asking for prayer. He was just saying, you know, until tonight, it's never even come to mind that this would be a possibility. And I said, well, sit down. I said, let's go for it. And so I said, I want you to watch. So a guy's feet and there's 2 inches back. And commanded to grow, and it just starts growing. And I said, do you see that? And he's staring at it. He won't answer me. He grows a little more. I said, do you see that? He wouldn't answer me. Finally, it's all the way out. I said, did you see that? And he's very seriously, he says, I don't believe what I just saw. I don't believe what I just saw. He's very, very honest. It was refreshingly honest. He wasn't resisting. He was just, he didn't have a slot to put it in. And he stood up, and it was like trying on a new pair of shoes, you know, they fit well. And then he remembered, oh, if I sit down, I can really test it because the leg will be back 2 inches. He sat down, and they're perfectly even. And he looked up at his daughter, about 16 years old, and he said, I just got healed. I mean, it was just this most bewildering moment. I just got healed. We were praying for people for a long time that particular night, and he came back to me, I'm guessing maybe an hour later, 45 minutes or so later, and he walked up to me and he said, I found the reason why I'm alive.
Come on.
1 hour earlier, never crossed his mind, there was a cap, limiting. There was a ceiling. What God might be willing to do. Never crossed his mind. 1 hour later, I found the reason why I'm alive. How many of you feel, I do hope there's some response in this. How many of you feel that you hear from the Lord fairly well? How many of you feel that you see fairly well? Right. How many of you don't? Now, some of you aren't going to raise your hand no matter what I ask you. I can see that one. I'm waiting for all the above, or I'm waiting for none of the above, or another option. Yeah. Yeah, one more. Yeah, we need more options. Yeah, we need more options. It's the craziest thing, but the discipline to remember activates a pre-existing gift to hear and to see. God has put it within the reach of every person to be a hearer and a seer. It just means it's time to consider the one that I cannot capture in thought. I can just be impacted by him. I cannot contain him, but I can sure look upon him. I can sure consider him. I can sure be in wonder, in awe over his kindness, his goodness. I think it's the reason, at least partly, the reason why Jesus at one point said, "Father, I thank you that you did not reveal this to the wise and to the learned, but instead you revealed him to babes, to children." What is he saying? He's saying there's a level and a measure of revelation that can only come to children. There's a level of revelation you won't get because you're smart. You can only get it when you've remained in awe. There are things about him he reserves. He waits to find one who is low enough to get it. Yep. Yep. So, Lord, we invite you to expand that part of our life. The determination to remember. The pondering, the thinking, the willingness to even wake up in the night and to consider things that we've never thought before. Just because you've been so good, so beyond anything we would have the intelligence to ask for. We wouldn't have the faith to fight for. But yet you've manifested yourself so clearly, so wonderfully through your works. I wonder how he would reveal himself to and through a people that actually gave him all the credit, all the glory, all the praise. He's made promises to us that are just crazy extreme. They are so extreme, they just hurt my head. I mean, they are. And I don't think he was teasing. I don't think he was saying, "Oh, in heaven, I'll handle this for you." I think he's trying to woo us into something that's available in our day. Yeah. He's wooing us. He impresses us with his nature, with his wonders, hoping to anchor our affections into a world we cannot see. Because when I become anchored in a world I cannot see, I become entrusted with the ability to distribute the reality of that world into a world I can see. So why don't you stand up? And we're going to take a moment to pray for each other. And are you alive?
Yeah.
Yes, you're alive. Good.
That's pretty alive.
Thanks. One of the questions that we are asked a lot, I doubt as much as John and Carol and their team in Toronto, but how do you sustain a move of God? I mean, it's the thing that we are all interested in. I mean, I don't want to live out the rest of my days pondering what was. I want to always be moving from glory to glory, thinking about what yet could happen, what yet he has promised. And he's, you know, anytime the Lord's given you a promise, it's only because he's gone into your tomorrow and he brings you a promise that you'll need to get you to where he saw you. He equips you with promise because that's what enables you to get from where you are to where he sees you. The whole kingdom lifestyle is the picture of the promised land, land of promise. Promise has everything in the world to do with who we are. So whenever that cap comes, we start actually cutting off our own future. The moment I stop dreaming, I start dying. I don't know, we need to write a song about the wonder. Jeez. I know there are some. We should probably learn those first. But I'm serious. There's something. If we can capture this in lyrical form, it'll give us the tools. You know, a song sticks in your head, you can't get rid of it. It's a bummer when it's a horrible song, too. Some dumb song is in there. I can't get it out. Charles Wesley would take John Wesley's theology, put it into music so that the concepts would be captured. It would shape the culture. Do you know there are people who sing lyrics, kingdom lyrics, that they don't believe in theologically? It's Jehovah Sneaky. Getting concepts past their reasoning into their heart. So I'm sorry, I'm just thinking out loud about All right. Father, I ask that you would expose in your grace, life-giving way, expose where there are limits and caps, where we have restricted or restrained your activity in our life, where we have sentenced ourselves to lack because we've limited you. And Lord, we just renounce, repent, turn from that, and we just ask you, Lord God, come and restore in our heart the wonder, the awe, the childlike awe of our own salvation, the incredible miracle that we're actually different from the inside out. You actually changed our nature. There are some in the room that have fallen to, I don't mean an anxious moment, but almost like a season of anxiety, and it's caused you to actually lose track of the tools God's put in your life. If that's you, put a hand up, because we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for the manifestation of peace. All right. See a hand up around you? That's your assignment. I want you to lay hands up. I want you to release and minister peace to these people. Because what we want is them to rediscover all that God has already conditioned and prepared them for. So pray for them in this way. Pray for them in this way. I want to hear you pray. Overwhelm them with peace. Those of you that have embraced anxiety or fear or any of that stuff, everything we do is either out of fear or love. And if you've embraced fear, even unintentionally, renounce it, repent, confess it, turn from it. Or renounce a partnership with fear. I renounce a partnership with fear. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Now, Jesus actually breathed on his disciples and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And when he did it, he said, "Peace to you." So I want you just literally to release peace, just to say, peace to you. I have it to give. I'm giving it to you now. Let there be a settling in the heart of all the anxious moments, the anxious issues. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Okay. All right, you did good. Now, we're going to call out a few things here just real quickly. Why don't you go ahead and sit down. Just give me just a couple minutes for this, and we'll try to move into this quickly. All right. There's someone who has torn its ligaments, tendons, in the top part of the right ankle. I think it happened some time ago. There's injury to the right ankle, an injury that you've never fully recovered from. All right? All right. Is there anybody else? All right. For which one of you is the year 1972 important? Is there any one of you that the year 1972 is important? That raised your hand for this. You've torn the ankle. Okay. I'm trying to find where the ankle injury in 1972 connects. Who's that? Is that you? I'm sorry. 71's close, but 72, yeah. 72. And you, the ankle, the right ankle. A knot. Was there a tearing of? Okay, you tore tendons, ligaments, and did it happen in 1972? It happened in 1972. Okay, stepping down because you should be healed. Now move it around. Just do what you couldn't do. Just do something to challenge it, to check it out. Really good. Test it. Real good. How's it? Get a mic over here. Let's. Find out what's happening here. Okay, now all the others that had the ankle injury, stand up. Because the anointing for this miracle is being released right now as he's stepping into his testimony, into his healing, all right? So what's happening?
I've never been able to put pressure on the side of it. Like, I can move stuff, but I don't watch it just re-flared up.
Okay.
I'm able to put pressure on it like this.
Come on. You've not been able to do that?
That in years.
Haven't been able to do that in years? We bless you, Lord. All right. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's incredible. Lord, we give you praise for that. The rest of you, the testimony releases power. So power was just released in his testimony. So step into the aisle. Don't stay where you are because that's convenient. Move into an aisle that's inconvenient and start checking your ankle and try to do what you could not do. I can feel it in my own ankle. There's still a number of people that the Lord is going to heal with this particular injury right now. Step into the aisle, do what you couldn't do. There's also someone here that has a degenerative condition in the right hip joint. And the right hip joint. I actually saw a picture of it earlier. You could just ride the coattails of this one and get into the aisle as well. Now, all of you ankle people, as soon as you realize Jesus healed you, I want you to wave a hand in the air so that we can find out, celebrate with you and honor what the Lord has done, all right? We've got one over here, all right? Check the ankle out really good. One over here, all right? All right, is there another one over here? Are you waving your hand over here? Yeah? Oh, way over against the wall. I see you. Another one in the aisle here. Keep checking it out. Another one over here. All right. Now, just pay attention, because once the first couple start happening, it starts spreading like wildfire. Literally, it's like a wave of momentum. And the Lord is healing people right now. So check yourself real good, and as soon as you realize you've been healed, wave both hands over your head like this, so your arms cross, do it like this, so that we can see, because we want to celebrate with you, all right? So wave your hands if you've been healed of this ankle thing. Put your hands up, go for it, there we go, right down here, there, all right? We got over here, there, another one back over here, another one down here, all right? That's beautiful, beautiful. Lord, we bless you for that. That's incredible. Okay, we have another one over here. We haven't even prayed for anyone yet. So don't get discouraged if it hasn't happened to you yet. We haven't prayed yet. All that happened is an atmosphere, a pregnant atmosphere of miracles was created by one story. Very simple story. I've not been able to stand on this side of my ankle in years because of that injury. That happened in 1972. So in the room here is a miracle-working presence of Jesus that rides on stories. It's the importance of remembering the works of God, all right? Now, here's what I want you to do. There's somebody who has a problem in the abdominal area. It's under the rib cage. It's actually in the stomach area. It's right there. I don't know the problem. I don't understand it, but it's right there. Who is that? Okay, stand up if that's you, all right? Now, all of the ankles and hips, don't sit down unless you physically can't stand, all right? Ankles and hips, remain standing. Who has the abdominal thing, that deal right over here? Right over here, okay? I think there's a few that raised your hand, all right? Yeah, put your own hand on it right now, because the Lord will just start releasing the healing grace. Is there anyone who has a tumor specifically on the right side of the abdominal area? Is there anyone with a tumor on the right? Is that you? All right. I believe that tonight's your night. I really do. I believe that tonight's your night. I believe that tonight's your night. We thank you for this Lord. Yeah, we thank you for this Lord. There's someone who has an injury that, and you just bask in that grace. There's just, there's someone who has an injury to the right arm, specifically the right forearm. I cannot pinpoint it because the whole thing is weak. The whole right forearm is weak because of some sort of an injury. It's not a sharp pain. It's just, it doesn't work right. It's that right forearm. Who is that? Just put your hand up real quick. Is that you? Stand up. Yeah, as soon as you hear something that's yours, just stand up to grab it, all right? Now, here's what we're going to do. There's some more. There's somebody here who has a cartilage issue. I don't know all the right terms, so let me just point inside of the left knee. Inside of the left knee. Is that you? All right. If that's you, just stand up, because this is free. It's all free. It's all free. It's actually released in the decree. So you want to get in the line of fire. You don't have to work for it. Just align your faith with what's decreed. So that inside of the left knee, if I were you, I'd be checking this stuff out while I'm yapping. All right. Right hip. Besides the hip joint, there is someone else with an injury or a problem, I should say, in the right hip. And it's not the joint. It's actually the tissue up and above around this right hip joint. Is that you back here? Okay. There's a healing grace for that being released right now. All right. We thank you for this, Lord. Do you guys have any words of knowledge at all? Anything to call out here? Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand by one of these that are either in the aisles or where they are. Is there anyone here with cancer? Put a hand up. We always like to go for cancer. I don't always remember, but I try to. Is there anyone here with cancer? If there isn't, that's wonderful, but bring them, please. Because, okay, right down here, all right? All right. How is your deal from the bike accident that happened in 1979? Okay, take the mic back there. Last Sunday night, word of knowledge was given about a bicycle accident in 1979. And she, in 1979, eighth grade, lost control of her bike, drove into oncoming traffic, was run over by a car, and has had issues since then. So what happened?
So I went to the doctor and they confirmed that I am healed.
Come on. Wow.
And
that's awesome.
Also, you also said during that time that somebody had bladder problems. All that's taken care of. I was suffering with that for 4 months. I have absolutely no symptoms at all.
We thank you for that, Lord Jesus.
When you asked me how my pain was, and I said my ear was hurting, remember?
Right.
And you kind of looked at me like, what? Well, all that's gone too.
The ear issues healed. All right. Thank you.
I went jogging for the first time since high school. I used to be in cross country, and I could jog now. And I'm wearing high heels that I haven't worn in like 10 years.
Well, the most important thing is you can wear the high heels, so we rejoice with you. Isn't that amazing? All right. So here's what we're going to do. Here, let's be very specific. Anyone who's ever been injured in a bicycle accident and you still have lingering effects, stand up. In fact, let's just broaden it. Motorcycle or bicycle. Two wheels. All right, if that's you, stand up, because this is a very significant miracle. We also had somebody here last week that broke their back in five places that the Lord healed. Is that gentleman here tonight? Amazing story. Five places. Where? Right back here. You're the one that fell 150 to 200 feet in Yosemite. Broke their back in five places. We celebrate your miracle. Extraordinary. Thank you, Lord. So here's what we're going to do. Bicycle or motorcycle accident injuries, stand up if that's you. Make sure you're standing. All right, we have several. Also, back injury. Specifically, the miracle of healing for her was an injury to the back, to the spine. If that's you, stand. All right, church family, you have a job to do. Let me do this. Some of you that are in the aisles, I need you to move back into where you were sitting so that people can get to you. That's the only reason. All right. Some of you here, maybe move back into where you were sitting. Over here, move back where you're sitting so people can get around you and pray for you. Well, church family, go for these folks. Find out who's standing. Find out what the issue is. Lay hands on them and pray. Okay, you should have enough information. All you need is a target. All you need is a target. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Please come now with power, miracles, signs, wonders. Be done for the glory of the name Jesus. For the glory of the name Jesus. Now, some of these folks need a creative miracle. Speak what needs to be created. We declare, He makes all things new, so let the hip joint be reformed now, revitalized now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If it's a proper place to put your hand, lay your hand on the problem. Tailbones are being healed. You don't need anyone to lay hands on it. Just sit down hard and check it out. Tailbones are being healed. Just sit down. Just by faith, just sit down. Check it out. Move in ways that would aggravate it and find out what the Lord has done. As soon as you realize you've been healed in that tailbone, start waving your hands because we want to celebrate with you. Okay, you got about 30 more seconds. All right. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Shh. Everyone, give me your attention. Just give me your attention. Everyone that received prayer. Shh. You're getting way too happy back there. Everyone that received prayer, you need to try to do something you couldn't do. In the same way, I had this gentleman check his ankle out, standing on the side of it. Do something you couldn't do. Or was difficult, all right? Check it out, and as soon as you discover you've been at least 80% healed, wave both hands over your head like this till your arms cross. We want to celebrate with you what the Lord has done. Okay, look around the room. Look around the room. It's amazing. We bless you, Lord, all over the room. Bless the Lord. Thank you, God. Okay, turn, pray one last time. Turn, pray one last time. Got about 2 minutes, then we'll wrap it up. Thank you, Lord. We ask for increased breakthrough anointing. If the person you prayed for is already healed, leave them alone, lest they have another issue. Now, we just declare, tumors dissolve in the presence of the Lord. Tumors dissolve. I actually saw earlier tonight, just a picture of a tumor in this area right here. So we just declare they come out and they're gone in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. All of you that received prayer, one last time, check yourself out. If you were healed the second time we prayed, wave your hands over your head. And we want to rejoice with you. We've got somebody else over here, another one there, another one here, another one back over here, down here, back over there. Wow, 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 wow. All right. Now, if you would just quickly sit down. Just quickly sit down. Never gets old, does it? How Jesus touches people. You know, one of the things I like so much about the miracle touch of Jesus, I want you to think about this. Do you remember the lame man at the Gate Beautiful, Acts chapter 3? When he was healed, it says he was walking, he was leaping, he was what? Praising God. He was walking because he was physically healed. He was leaping because he was emotionally healed. He was praising God because he was spiritually healed. The touch of the Lord always goes deeper than what we can see. Always goes deeper because he's wooing us into an affection. I almost said an infection. It's that too. An affection for a world we cannot see. All of you that got healed tonight, I just want you to stand up. Just stand where you are. But wave your hands. Just wave your hands. Wave your hands over your head. I want to count. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Were you guys healed? Wave the hands or I won't count you. 25, 26, 27, 28, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 50, 52 people, 53 people. Bless the Lord. God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you praise, Lord. Wow. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. It's amazing. Ah. His works reveal his ways. Moses prayed this prayer, and I want you to pray this with me in a moment. He said, let me know your ways that I might know you. The works reveal the ways that open for relationship. Pray this with me. Let me know your ways that I might know you. Yeah, how many of you are interested in knowing God in a different way, a new way? It's like the turning of a diamond, new facets. So we just invite you all. Let us know your ways that we might know you. Amen. We want to keep the awe. We want to keep the awe. All right, sit down if you would. I would like to hear three or four testimonies. So if you experienced a significant miracle tonight, I want you to come up. Just come on up here and talk to our team. Tell them what the Lord has done. I want at least three or four things that have happened. Why don't you guys come over here and just do a real quick interview, and we're going to listen to what Jesus has done. Yeah, Eric, start with 1972 here. Yeah. Yay, Jesus.
God. Well, it was from a basketball injury. A gentleman fell on top of me when it did. It just tore everything out. It hasn't been the same since 1972, and I hadn't been able to put any pressure on it. And also because I had a knot there, the knot's gone down a lot. And even my tennis shoe is loose. And because it's always different than the other foot. So my tennis shoe is actually loose, and I haven't untightened it. I know what you're thinking, but I didn't unloose it. And the tennis shoe is actually loose, and I can actually move it to places where I haven't been since then.
Isn't that beautiful? We bless you for that, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Incredible. Wow, 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 wow. 1972, 43 years. 43 years. Yeah, yeah, give or take. 40, what happened, Jill?
So for 20 years, I've had low back pain from different nursing injuries, catching patients and things like that. And a lot of times I have to kind of stand holding on, you know, when we have worship. But today, it left the low back pain.
Thank you. That's wonderful. We bless you for that, God. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I broke my right ankle a couple years ago biking, which is kind of ironic because he brought up a bike and I guess something with an ankle. And yeah, well, it's been stiff, but today wasn't a really day where it hurt. It's a pain that comes and goes all the time. And yeah, I was just sitting there and I stood up and I'm like, wait a minute, it doesn't even hurt right now. So how am I going to even know if it's healed or not? All of a sudden I felt something go through my right ankle. I'm like, huh. And then I started moving it around. And I was like, whoa, it has never been so loose in its life. It's always been kind of stiff. And I was like, what's going on right now? I got up and I started stomping on it. And dad, I couldn't do that, man. It feels so good, man. It feels so good.
It's never been so loose in all of its life. That's awesome. How long have you been alive? It's awesome. Go ahead.
I had gone to the doctor because I had discs in my neck. I had a lot of pain. And he said that I had bulging and degenerating discs in my neck that would require surgery.
Yep.
And my neck is healed.
That's awesome.
No bulging.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, no, nothing.
Now,
totally, yeah. You could feel it for
so
yourself.
So you had, could you feel the bulging disc? Could
absolutely.
You feel, yeah. And it's not bulging. What couldn't you do movement-wise?
I couldn't do much of anything without hurting.
So show me
a little bit.
Show me what you couldn't do. You couldn't do any of that?
Yeah, no.
And there's no pain?
No pain.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, sir.
Wonderful Jesus. Beautiful. L4 and L5. Who has a problem there? The Lord's healing it right now. Stand up. L4 and L5. I don't even know where that's at. And I know it's in the back. That's lower back. Okay. Lower back right there. Somebody, medical person, help me out. Okay. The Lord is healing L4 and L5 right now. Move around. Is that yours? Yours was L4 and L5? There it is. From someone who doesn't know what they're talking about. L4 and L5. Put your hand on your own back. It should be done. Check it out. Now, move it around. Do what you couldn't do. And for some reason it's not done, we'll actually have someone pray for you. But the Lord is healing L4 and L5. All right. Who has been healed already of whatever issue? Back here. All right. Back over here. You have x-rays? You brought x-rays with you? Who does that? That's awesome. I wouldn't know what I was looking at, but that's awesome. Keep praying. Just a church, pray with these folks. Be partner with them. If you're sitting next to them, put your hand on that part and just declare full restoration. The Lord heals. L4, L5, be made whole now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Wow, wow, wow.
Come on.
Wow. There's also someone that has injured the tendon on the top of the right hand, the thumb area, right in here. There's a tendon there that has been injured, damaged somehow. If that's you, well, if it's your left hand, pretend I'm dyslexic. But it's specifically the right hand is what I'm calling out. If that's you, have somebody lay hands on it right now. Jesus heals that. Jesus heals that. He restores it now. Okay, all the L4s and L5, just check it out. Do something you couldn't do. As soon as you discover you've been healed, wave your hands over your head so we can see who you are. We celebrate that right here, right there. Another one here, another there, another there. Okay. All right, how's the thumb? It's good. It's good, healed, done deal. Okay, There's someone who has an injury to the foot, your left foot, but it's the next to the little toe, and it's in the foot area. Who is that? It's very specific, right in that part of the left foot. Who is that? I don't know if it's arthritic. I don't know if it's been broken, never healed right. Who is that? Is that you? Somebody lay hands on it right there. Just get it's a left foot. Left, yeah, the other left foot. There we go. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right, I'm trying to end this thing, but I want to hear one more testimony. One more sweep at this L4, L5 thing. We just declare the healing word over every single one of you in Jesus' name right now. He is no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, whoever's praying for that, how many of you got that left foot thing going? Put a hand up. I want to see. I know there's one down here. Is there any other? Is it way up here? Okay, your hand's up. All right. All right. I rebuke affliction on that foot. Be loosed now in Jesus' name. I break the power of affliction and trauma. I don't know how this is connected, but we break it off now. Check it out. Should be good. Check it out. Yeah. It's good, huh? Yep, it's gone. Yeah, there was an afflicting spirit. It's weird, but you know, we think in terms of afflicting spirits as sometimes major illnesses. Sometimes they're there just as the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. They just irritate. And so that's broken. All right, beautiful.
It was a dryer that fell off the bed of a truck.
A dryer fell off the bed of a truck?
Yeah, and it fell onto my foot, my bare foot.
Oh, goodness gracious. Onto your bare foot?
Yeah. Like, I don't know, probably.
Ouch.
Probably 13 years ago.
13 years or so ago? 13 years ago, and it just got healed. Bless the Lord. Yeah, bless the Lord. Thank you, God. Beautiful. Okay. Now, if you're still praying for L4 and L5, that's fine. Just continue. The rest of you, listen to the story.
I've had a stomach problem. It's not actually a stomach. It's a valve out of the stomach into the small intestine for over 5 years, and I have to be very careful what I eat, and I've lost weight, and it's a battle, and it's a lot of pain, especially at night when you lay down. And before Bill said, somebody has a pain under their rib. I don't know what it is. God said to me, this is you. Get ready to stand up.
Wow, come on.
And I had pain. And when it comes, the pain is sharp, sort of knife-like. Now yep. I have this big ball of red-hot fire right here. And so I'm saying, thank you, Lord. I am healed.
Come on. Now, everyone that got healed this last time that we prayed, since I counted the 50, whatever it was, 52, if you were healed since then, stand up and wave your hands because I want to see who you are. All that were healed in this last wave, stand up. I just want to count, see who you are. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. If you're not waving, I won't count you. 13. 14, 15, 16. Wow, 68 people. Let's stand together. Let's give him a shout of thanks, a shout of praise. We bless you, God. We bless you, mighty God. We bless you, mighty God. Amazing. You can try this at home. The worst that could happen is nothing. And that's already happening. So put your hands in front of you. Lord, increase the grace for the simple miracles, healing and miracles through the people of God to serve our city well, to show them what you're like. We want our city to know your works and to know your ways and to know you. So I ask for this in Jesus' name. One more time, let's give thanks. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow.